There's five verses. We'll start off with Revelations 19, verse 6 through 9. And you just make a notation. And so, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelations 20, verse 1 through 10. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. 2 Thessalonians 1 through verse 3 through 5. Endure that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. James 2, verse 5. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom. And John 14, verse 1 through 3. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will also be. So I've had two events culminate this month that have made that group of verses become very real to me, and I wanted to share that with you. So the first one was, from childhood I've had a desire to complete and finish to the end a particular event. And it had nothing to do with church. But to pull it off, I had to develop some skills and earn the resources in order to procure some tools and the free time to be able to pursue that. And then slowly, you develop advanced skill sets, across a wide area of engineering, of electricity, machining, mechanical proficiency, dynamic internal combustion, metal fabrication. There's intangible skill sets of resourcefulness, boldness, goal setting, patience, financial management, and some basic strategy. But the bigger yet is the cultivation of positive relationships with numerous other people that began to invest in their own time and resources to help me reach this goal. All of that effort simply gave me the opportunity to succeed or spectacularly fail in the front of 7,500 people. That sounds funny to say, but I tell you all this not because it's about me. After I finished, I saw the enthusiasm of the crowd, and then the over the top excitement and exuberance of those who had invested in me. But what mattered the most to me was that those that were close to me, they were able to claim their share of honor in front of all of those people. It had taken years and years of work to get to that place in life where I was. And it was the greatest feeling to be able to give that honor of association to each one of those people that helped me out. It was a big team effort. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was really exciting to do it, but to see that from other people, that was something. The second one was yesterday. I work for a general contractor, and we've had a ceremonial toast of completion and a handover of the keys to the homeowner. It was a unique project. It's an ultra-modern design. But the patriarch of this family, who was an older man, he commissioned an architect and a general contractor to build not a monument to his greatness or to his net worth, but a home that his family and his yet unborn descendants will be able to use and enjoy. It holds the categorical title of a legacy home. After the toast, those that administratively got the project going introduced a group of carpenters who had done a fair amount of the work. And what proceeded was uncharacteristic in the industry. There was an outpouring from the homeowner of gratitude and respect for the skill sets of these men. but none of these carpenters did it for the money. It's just not enough money to deal with the stress and the pressure to perform at these ultra-high levels in less than ideal environment and doing tedious tasks. They did it for the love of simply doing it and to be able to do it with great people. So this last year I've been dedicated to this project, and it's brought up some questions in my mind. You know, am I investing my time and my resources for this kingdom? Am I doing it with the right attitude? Am I developing the skills on top of skills so that at Christ's return I am counted worthy, honored as the first fruits of mankind? And what is this mansion that Christ is building for each one of us? And how will construction proceed in a 1,000-year period? So let's make this real for a moment. Let's dare to put ourselves there at that revealing of the saints. The living God of eternity singles you out to receive your crown of glory and your robe of honor. You've made it. You're married to the Lamb, forever recognized as the first fruits heritage of God's family. This is the grandest ceremony ever. It's beyond the mind of man to conceive. Are you going to be there? Don't miss this chance to be able to give to your descendants the honor of familiar relationship. You know, think about it. It'd be like, you know, let's say my forefather was Abraham Lincoln. But here it is. Here's right between the eyes message. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Write it down. 18, verse 12. Before honor is humility. And James 2, verse 5. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. So do you see the need for humility? If you think achieving greatness is the goal and is the way to be admired for your skill or accomplishment, you've automatically disqualified yourself for the honor. You will be choked out by your own conceits and your own jealousies and your own disappointments. Humility is the key to the opportunity of great accomplishments. And listen to this, the process that you go through to achieve greatness, the what you learn through it, that is the point of what we're striving for big goals is for. Let me say that again. That is the point of striving for big goals, not the attainment. So mercifully, we are given time to soak in God's nature through the trials and triumphs of this life, through the time and the chance of just daily living. So if we stick to it, we'll be able to retain all of that into eternity. We see over and over the admonishments. Let's write down Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3. It's Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Have a walk that's worthy of the calling with all lowliness and gentleness. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. As the elect of God, put on tender mercies, kindness, and humbleness. And 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 through 5. Endure that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. Are you still not convinced? If you write down Matthew 5, verse 5, you'll read later, the meek shall inherit the earth. But what hangs in the balance? Besides your mortality? If you read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, the eye has not seen the thing which God has prepared for those who love him. If you read Psalms 37 from start to finish, it goes into more detail of what the meek shall inherit. So I ask you to please stick to it. We're in here, even though it's sunshine, for something in the future, but to be able to give to those that God will call later. Happy Sabbath.